I'm Ed Gordon, and this is News and Notes. O'Neill Walker is one of a small number of black students at Middlebury College in Vermont. He was scheduled to graduate this summer from the school that has a history of racial tension, but that's been put on hold due to what he says is a case of mistaken identity. Now others are wondering aloud if his is an extreme case of the old adage, they all look alike. From Vermont Public Radio, Nina Keck reports.
It's a hot day, and Middlebury's picturesque campus is downright sleepy. Most of the undergrads are gone, but a small group of prospective students and their parents takes a tour.
So this is a senior, Carol, right here.
We've been a breakthrough college in a lot of things historically. We've had the first African-American who graduated from a college here. Emma Willard, the first woman who started a college for women, started in Middlebury at the admissions house. That's why it's Emma Willard House.
But Alexander Twilight, the first African-American to receive a degree from a U.S. college, graduated from Middlebury in 1823. The school takes great pride in its history of inclusion, a history that contrasts sharply with the controversy gripping the campus now.
Even the fairest people, from their point of view, don't understand that they can be unconsciously racist.
That's Billy Murphy, a civil rights attorney representing O'Neill Walker. Murphy says beginning last November, Middlebury's campus police reported a string of dormitory intrusions. Some of the alleged intruders were white, he says. Some were black.
These room intrusions range from being very innocent to being not innocent. So the campus picked out the ones involving black people, even though the victims could not identify any particular person who did it. And they charged O'Neill Walker with all five incidents there.
Four victims couldn't identify the intruder, but a fifth victim, a white Middlebury senior named David Hawkins, said O'Neill Walker was the man who entered his room in the middle of the night. Campus police believe the same person broke into all five rooms, but Walker says it wasn't him. He says he looks nothing like the intruder David Hawkins described.
He goes into details about how, you know, the person had no tattoos, no piercings, and later on goes on to say that the person spoke with an African dialect. And as you hear me now, I don't speak with an African dialect. I'm not light-skinned. I'm dark-skinned.
Walker's friends describe him as soft-spoken and almost shy. He played clarinet in Middlebury's orchestra and competed on the school's cheerleading squad. The first in his family to go to college, Walker had hoped to go on to law school.
I don't have my diploma. I don't have my degree. So right now everything's just on hold and I'm waiting for this thing to be taken care of. It's taken a heavy toll on the family.
Rob Hawkins says the situation has also been difficult for his family. His son David was traveling in Latin America and was unavailable for an interview.
He never took this whole thing lightly. For David, the thought of convicting someone unfairly is worse than, in fact, identifying the intruder.
O'Neill Walker understands that identifications across racial lines can be difficult. He says he can forgive David Hawkins, but not the college. The room intrusions were causing a lot of anxiety on campus. Walker believes blaming a black male offered Middlebury an easy solution.
I feel that the administration and the Department of Public Safety, they needed to find someone to say, you know, we have the issues under wraps, feel safe to send your children here and continue to donate money to the college.
That's not true, says Allison Byerly. She's in charge of academic affairs at Middlebury College.
The question of racial profiling, I think, is an inaccurate characterization of evidence presented that was considered compelling by two separate judicial boards made up of a range of faculty and students who heard evidence and determined that there was a basis for identification that was not racial profiling but was identification by a witness of an intruder.
Byerly says the college won't divulge details because O'Neill Walker requested that the hearings remain closed and confidential. Student Affairs Dean Marichelle Gentry oversees the judicial process at Middlebury.
If I felt any student was being mistreated or hadn't received a fair hearing or the process of interviewing and public safety hadn't been appropriate, I would have been the first person to stop it.
Gentry, who's African American, says Walker's take on this really bothers him.
I think my integrity was questioned. My role here was questioned. In some ways, my blackness was questioned.
Walker's lawyer, Billy Murphy, remains skeptical about the way Middlebury handled the room investigations and his client's hearings.
What makes it even more nettlesome is that they're in denial about it, and so they don't bother to question the flawed logic that they used to convict O'Neill Walker.
Walker was attending school on a full scholarship, paid by Middlebury, but awarded by the Posse Foundation, a highly competitive program that helps motivated students from urban high schools attend high-profile colleges and universities. Renard Richard, like Walker, is a Posse scholar at Middlebury. When hundreds of students rallied in May on Walker's behalf, Richard joined in. But weeks after the demonstration, the sophomore admits he feels very torn.
Right now, I can basically tell you that it's really weird being at Middlebury because there's just so many rumors going around, so you don't really know what side to believe. It's frustrating. To tell you the truth from both sides, it just doesn't sound like the story's adding up.
Renard Richard and the rest of the campus may never know what really happened. Middlebury officials say that if O'Neill Walker fulfills the terms of his suspension, taking a semester off, getting psychiatric counseling, and reapplying for admission, they would welcome him back and continue to finance his tuition. Walker says he has no intention of admitting to something he didn't do. He's filed suit against the college in Vermont Superior Court. A hearing is expected later this summer. For NPR News, I'm Nina Keck in Middlebury, Vermont.